Hello, lovelies. Welcome to the Fat Joy podcast, where we talk each week about how to flourish in an anti-fat world. I'm Sophia Apostle, a fat professional coach who loves talking to other fat people about what it's like to live within oppressive systems that marginalize our bodies and how we still dare to have the audacity and courage to reach towards our collective liberation and embrace our joy. Please know this is an adult content podcast, so there will be swears, we will be talking about harms we've experienced, and we will be rebelling against weight stigma, diet culture, fat phobia, ableism, racism, etc. You can get more Fat Joy goodness, including how you can support the podcast, through my newsletter at fatjoy.substack.com. And for episode transcripts, book reviews, and show notes, head to the Fat Joy website at fatjoy.life. I am so glad you're here. Enjoy this episode. Hello, lovelies. Welcome back to the Fat Joy podcast. I'm Sophia Apostle, and I have a guest today that I found, I think, towards the beginning of the year when I was partaking in my hobby, which is streaming shows. Netflix, Crave, Prime, Amazon, or Amazon is Prime, Apple. I am a huge TV streamer. I love it. And so I'm always looking for new cool shows. And I was on Netflix and I saw a documentary that was called Merpeople. And I also, the person who does the book reviews for the Fat Joy podcast, Anna Kavoras, I think also had sent me an email saying, hey, check this out. And so I started watching it and it was fascinating. I've always been a water person and was watching. And then I was like, oh, hang on. Who is that mermaid? And would that mermaid want to be on the Fat Joy podcast? And today we have Shay Monique. Shay Monique, I love following you. I loved you in the documentary. I am so, so thrilled that you're here to talk to me today. I feel like I've been fangirling over you for quite some time and you're here. So welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm super stoked to be here. As you can imagine, after the documentary came out, lots of people wanted to talk to me, but I think yours is like the only fat-specific podcast that reached out to me. And obviously, like, that's the place I want to be, which is not to say that I don't want to be the other places, but like, this is the place where like I belong. Like, so I'm like very, very excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, yay. Well, and we're going to talk about this, but like literally over your shoulder is a big, like a decal that says Society of Fat Mermaids, which of course we're going to talk about because I do have a secret wish to be a mermaid, like in for reals.
Okay.
Yeah. I always have. I mean, I grew up with, it's so problematic now, but I grew up with Little Mermaid and I was like, I am Ariel.
Same.
Yeah, right?
Same.
I think I know every line of the movie. Like there was just something so romantic and mystical and wonderful about being able to swim and breathe underwater and just that whole mythology around mermaids has always captivated me. And I imagine, is that true for you as well?
To a degree. So I definitely like have loved The Little Mermaid since basically it came out and I was a toddler. Have always loved the water. And I have like some curiosity about the mythology and whatnot, but I honestly have not delved as deeply into that as you would think. Like, I mean, merfolk, we have what we call mersonas, and some people's mersonas are very, very like based in a specific mythology from a specific culture, and like their mer is from a very particular region of the world, and like the Blick Tsunami, who you saw on Mer People, like he is the Geechee Mer, and so even when he types in the Gullah Geechee vernacular, and I have like a research project in mind and like a mermaid Shay Monique origin story like I wish to write, but like at the same time, I still haven't actually done that research project, you know? And like my persona basically is like mermaid Shay Monique is like the best version of me, you know? She's like, you know, probably the person I would be if I were like able-bodied and still on this planet when I'm like 400, if that makes sense. She's just like more evolved. Like she's me, just better. Like,
I totally get that. Yeah, that makes so much sense. Well, and I also, you mentioned mersonas. And I just, one of the things that I loved that came out in the documentary was this whole language of, I don't know if it's, is it puns? Like where you're punning on, like we don't say hello, we say shallow. Shallow.
Yes. And if we're typing, we'll say see you later. Like,
SEA?
It's SEA, exactly. Exactly. It doesn't translate verbally, but you can type it out. And
oh my God. It's so fun. It's so fun. All right. So Shay, will you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who are you? Because we just dove in and we'll just catch everybody up. So who are you?
Hello, I am Shay Monique, or Mermaid Shay Monique. I am the founder of the Society of Fat Mermaids. I'm a mermaid model, performer, instructor, and motivational speaker based in the DC area. I need to start more fully repping Northern Virginia. There were a lot of people who reached out to me after the documentary and were like excited that it like beelined and was like bloop, Alexandria, Virginia, instead of DC, because I can see DC out my window. That's how close I am. But, you know, if you're a Northern Virginian, you know, it's kind of nice to not get lumped in with DC, even though I do. I kind of used to also do it for like safety reasons. It's like nobody needs to know exactly what little town I'm in. We'll just say I'm in DC Metro. But yeah, so I'm based in the DC area. So I run Society of Fat Mermaids, which is a size inclusive clothing line and community that celebrates and centers fat bodies. And I also do a lot of mermaid performance and appearance, both for social media and, you know, for gigs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and if I highly recommend everyone watch this documentary, Merpeople. I had no idea just how much of a culture exists with people who do mermaid shows and events, and like it's whole life how people live, and it's amazing, and like the passion and the care and the love that people have for. I mean, to me, it's an art form when you guys are like in the water and you're swimming in aquariums. Oh my God, with like sea creatures and in pools and on shows and all of it, like just even, and the costumes. Oh my gosh, we have to talk about costuming too at some point. Like it is so intricate and detailed, and it blew my mind. It really blew my mind how much of like I don't know. Does it cheapen it to say like it's a lifestyle? Like it really is how it's such a big part of people's lives. Yeah. How does maybe say it better than I'm saying it to convey?
I mean, I think you said it. And it's interesting, right? Because for some of us, it is totally a lifestyle, and it is for me. And I didn't mean for it to be. It kind of just crept up and like took over my life, and it was like, oh, this is who we are now, you know? And it's funny because people be like, how does your family feel about that? How does your family or your husband feel about that? And I'm like, we're mer people. Like, I don't know. Like, this is who we are. Like, this is what we do. Like, I'm not sure when or how it happened. I mean, there were moments where like we kind of checked in and was like, are we going all in? And my family was like, yeah, like this is it. But for some people, it's just a job. And honestly, within the community, like that creates like a little bit of tension, right? Because for some people, like mermaiding means everything to them. And for other people, it's like, it's a check, you know, they clock in, they clock out. And so it is interesting, but for a lot of us, it's such a cool community. It's such a welcoming community. And there are so many aspects of it, from the sport of it to the folklore of it. Even though I know how the sausage is made, it makes it more fascinating, not less. Like, I feel like usually when you know what goes into a thing, you're like, womp womp. At least that's how I used to be when I was a kid. Like, my parents told me where babies came from when I was like 3 or 4. And I was just like, you know, people be like, oh, the miracle of birth. And I'd be so jaded about it. I'm like, eh, whatever. But with like mermaiding, like knowing what it takes to see people do it, I'm just like, they are incredible. Absolutely incredible. And it's really cool because it's a much bigger community than you'd expect, but it's still very small. And I always reference it just in terms of convention size. Like, I think the biggest Mermagicon there was had about 700 people, which, like, I thought was like a ton of people coming in from all over the country and different parts of the world. But then, you know, you go to, you know, a big Comic-Con and it might have 300,000 people, 300,000, you know, versus 700. So, you know, and I still think of like that fan culture is still being like a small niche culture. But so we're tiny, but there's still more of us than you'd think. You probably wouldn't expect that we'd have conventions, multiple conventions that people come in from different countries. So that's surprising. Like, wow, I didn't know there was that much going on. But, you know, our commons are a lot smaller than some of the other cons, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I that was definitely one of my takeaways as well, especially when you all went on a cruise together. I was like, oh, there's like a mermaiding cruise. How fun.
That was such a cool experience.
Oh, I just think the doc was so well done. I want to, and again, I mean, so no surprise. One of the reasons I want to talk to you is you were in the few, definitely, I think the only one who was spotlighted, the only fat mermaid. And of course, Fat Joy, I'm always interested in centering the stories of fat people out there doing amazing shit, which you were. So Shay, I'm curious about your relationship to the word fat. I feel like now you're pretty good with it. You have a company called Society of Fat Mermaids, but I imagine, like many of us, that was not always the case, or maybe it was. What's your journey been with this word?
You know, it's weird. I feel like my brain does the same thing I feel like a lot of our bodies do, where like, I don't remember the before times, you know? And I feel that way when I have an injury. It's like, oh, you know, one day you're limping, the next day you're fine, and you completely forget that last week you were limping or whatever. So I can't, like, I feel like fat itself was never like the word I was teased with. Like, so while I do kind of remember being inspired by amazing people to like reclaim, and like, I remember kind of the journey to loving and accepting and finding neutrality in the word fat and just reclaiming the word fat. Like, I really don't remember like have fat be like a word that would make me go, ooh. But definitely all the conversation around my weight, very much so. And definitely I'm somebody who my weight has been a part of my story from the moment I was born. I was born kind of tiny. And so my mom weighed me on a kitchen scale. And I always say it like a fairy tale where she like prayed and prayed and prayed that I would plump up. And then I did. And next thing you know, I'm in Weight Watchers at 9, you know, like, be careful what you ask for. But, you know, but I was in Weight Watchers at 9, you know, so my weight has always been a part of the conversation. I am definitely somebody who would very much have been like, oh, mermaiding looks so cool. You know, when I lose this next 50 pounds, I might try to get a mermaid tail. And somewhere along the line, thankfully, now I'm the person who's like, please don't wait. Like, if you want to lose 50 pounds, that's your business. Like, that has, I'm not going to tell you to do it. I'm not going to tell you not to do it. But what I am going to tell you is, if you want the mermaid tail, get it now. And you know, that for me, that's more than my journey with the word fat. It's the journey from a person who was always 20, 50, 120 pounds away from something she wanted in her life to a person who realized that, yeah, she does still deserve joy and does deserve, you know, to live a good life right now, today. And regardless of what my body looks like, I can still do cool things.
Absolutely. And how amazing would it have been when you were a little girl to see someone like you?
Oh my gosh. How, like, I think it would have just been incredible, even for the adults around me, because so much of the messaging we get, like, I feel like for a lot of people in a lot of different marginalizations, like a lot of the like ugly messaging they get is from people who care about them and like want them to be happy. Whether it's like the parent who's trying to force their kid in the closet because it's like, I just can't imagine how you'd have a good life, you know, like as much as, you know, hearing nobody's going to love you unless you're X, Y, or Z size, oh, is horrible and does really interesting things to a girl as she's developing. You know, the concern is under there is like, I want this kid in my life to be loved, right? Like as much as it's, you know, it's not being delivered in the right way, it's not being delivered in a helpful way, like that is there. And so for the adults in my life to see fat people thriving, I think would be incredible, because we're taught to hide. And so it is hard to see fat people thrive. It literally is hard. I mean, I know, you know, because we both are in the business of seeking it out. Like, but like you have to actually like look for fat people smiling. Like you have to seek it out still, you know? And so I think even that would be revolutionary. I think more so for the little girl, for the adults to be like, oh, you can be, and like, and so honestly, one of my favorite things about merpeople is that my husband's in it. And I don't talk about him a lot, but gosh, was that like such the drum I personally got as a fat woman, was just like, nobody's gonna love you like unless you have X, Y, or Z body size. And so I think like for me as a fat Black woman, and ooh, do Black women get that? Just nobody's gonna love you because you're not good enough, period. Anyway, like, and I, you know, I got it from both ends just to have, he's not in there a lot, but he's in there. And at some point I put the subtitles on because I don't know, I wanted to like, and started experimenting watching merpeople in different languages because I was just curious. Somebody was like, you sound so cute in the Spanish dub. And I'm like, oh, what do I sound like dubbed over in Spanish? You know, like, or what does somebody else sound like, you know, voice doing my voiceover or whatever. And so when I did it and I had the English subtitles on, my husband, they don't put his name in, which he's offended by, but instead they just put him down as supportive husband. And I'm like, yes, yes, 5,000%.
Yay, supportive husband.
Yeah. And not that I think, you know, like I'm beyond that, you know, Disney that I grew up on. You know, we were talking about The Little Mermaid. So I don't think having like the supportive husband is like your goal in life or is like a thing that people have to be happy, but it sure is a thing that they tell us fat girls we can't have. And so I'm happy that it is on Netflix. My supportive husband sitting there hawking mermaid t-shirts in 200 degree, well, not 200 degree heat, but in the heat of Sacramento while I'm dancing in a parade. Like, I'm glad that that's a thing.
That's amazing. Well, and I, you know, in your bio, you talk about defying stereotypes in a fun and celebratory way and reminding the world that anything is possible. And I just, that resonated with me so much because you're right. It's really hard to see fat people thriving. Most of the time, the images we see of fat people are headless and on the news and about like something horrible is going to happen to these headless bodies. Like, it's so blatant. And what you do, Shay, is you are in a mermaid tail and some type of kind of bikini-ish type top and usually a gorgeous headgear and like accoutrement. Your costumes are amazing. And you are swimming in the water and on and like kind of perched on land. Like, you are very much a body, visible in all your fatness, in all your, you know, like in all of it. And you're like, look at me. Like, because that's the invitation with mermaids, right? Is to like look, admire, and be wowed by it. So how, like, what was that like? Was it hard to get comfortable with that? Did that just come naturally to you? I can just, yeah, just being so visible.
I will try to give you that journey as concisely as possible. You would have thought I was a tomboy if you met me between the ages of like 8 and 13. And it's just because there weren't clothes for chubby little girls. nor did my mom know what to do with a fat daughter. She just didn't even know. And so the solution was to put me in men's jeans and t-shirts. When I started finding like a hint of fashion, I got into this weird place in middle school where I would paint my nails a color and then wear sneakers and t-shirts that same color for a week. And probably that just read as weird. Like, as an, I'm just like, that was an interesting choice, you know, but you know, you're 12, you know, what are you going to do? When I started babysitting, I had money. I had more disposable money as a kid babysitting than I do as a creative entrepreneur, let me tell you. I started spending a lot of time at the mall, and like Lane Bryant literally couldn't come out with new clothes as fast as I could buy them because, you know, you gotta look great for high school, right? And so actually I did though. And there was a year, sophomore year of high school, I kept a calendar of my outfits because I didn't want to repeat them more than once every certain amount of time.
I did that too. I totally did that too. I would track, yeah, for years and years. I never wanted to wear the same thing twice.
Yeah, you know, like, and I could, but it had to be like, a, you know, at least maybe 6 weeks in between or something, at which point the season has changed, so you're not wearing it again. And I would also, I wouldn't track if I got compliments because I got compliments every day. But if there were a day that I didn't get a compliment, I would write that down and I would never wear that outfit again. So I had money, I found clothes. And at some point, we moved into a house and my mom put a ton of mirrors in the house. And I think part of my relationship with my body is honestly, with all those mirrors, I literally looked at myself enough to get desensitized to it. I don't even think that it was like a, oh, I love this body. It was just like, at one point it's like, oh, I'm so fat. Look at this, look at that, look at that. And then at some point it's like, yep, that's what's there. So that was a thing. And then I just had this light bulb moment where I was like, dude, my fat body is kind of like when people try to like wrap a bicycle up for their kid for Christmas. Like, you know, it's the bike, you know, it's there. And so I was like, you can't really cover it up. Like, and this was like pre-Spanx. Like Spanx like started happening when I was like in college, maybe. This was pre-Spanx, pre like Waist Shapers. It's just like, I can be uncomfortable, and gosh, was I uncomfortable. I have this like lump on my arm that kind of looks like a muscle, but it's fat. And yeah, right? Like I look ripped. Like, yeah, I do, yeah. And this guy I had a crush on, oh my gosh, he teased me about my big strong muscle and I was embarrassed. Yes. So I like only wore like t-shirts that covered that in the middle of the summer. And then like this other boy was teasing me about my hairy legs. And so I like wore jeans and I was just like, okay, this is too much. Like, I'm going to shave my legs, talk to my mom about that. And these t-shirts have got to go. I'm hot. I'm fat, whether it's covered or not. Like, it doesn't make me look smaller. It just makes me uncomfortable. And then I became what my godmother calls naked Shay. So that was like part of it. I started belly dancing when I was 16. And the best thing for me about belly dancing is that I was in the community with older women. Not really fat women, but just older women. And so, you know, I'm 16 and most everybody else is 30, 40, 50 something, you know, and it's just a really amazing place to be. And I belly danced all through college. And in my early 20s, I started doing burlesque, and I did burlesque pretty seriously for over a decade. So by the time mermaiding came around, I was very much used to my body being on display in different ways. And yeah, one of the weird things for me about burlesque, though, is like I was never a great burlesque performer. I'm a pretty good burlesque producer. I'm like an okay performer. And for some people, especially since burlesque happens in a lot of like rad queer places, like I think some people like got more like joy, excitement, whatnot from just seeing like a fat black body be like, here I am. And people be like, oh my gosh, you were so amazing. You were da da da. And I'm like, no, I just gave you representation you think is cool. Like, I kind of sucked. Like, objectively, it was not that great. But you just think it's cool that I was like so brave or whatever to bear my body to this audience. So that's kind of, so by the time it came time to be, you know, in the public eye as a mermaid, in many ways, I was used to it. What I was not used to per se was being in like, oh, excuse me, being in like the viral public eye that the internet brings to it. So that's a fun flavor.
Yeah, that's actually one of my questions, is the what happened with the documentary and if that, like, the impact that that has had on your visibility.
The documentary definitely, like, amplified things. But this mermaid journey for me, I've been saying it's almost like the cart got ahead of the horse. It's like, when I started to say Fat Mermaids, like, I was like, yeah, this is a thing. Like, and we're selling t-shirts, but I know we need a community because I called it society. But like, even that, like, I wasn't necessarily ready to like take charge of, you know? And then I was like, I shouldn't sell stuff to a community and not be part of it. So I'm going to mermaid too. But I really thought mermaiding was just going to be this like cute element to my burlesque. Like, I thought I was just going to take like sexy, like, mermaid pinup pictures underwater. Like, I didn't think mermaiding was going to be my life. And I remember, in both cultures, mermaid culture and burlesque culture, snow photo shoots are like a really big deal. And so it's so funny when you get like those first big snowfalls, because like my timelines are just full of like people like running out into the snow, some of them with no clothes on and some of them with tails on. And so, yeah, it's kind of a weird little overlap. And so early in my mer journey, there was a snowstorm, and one of my photographer friends at Yerouge Photography, who, oh my gosh, love shooting with them, fat, queer person of color to shoot with. Like, I wish everybody a fat, queer POC photographer, like, if only. And so they were just like, hey, it's snowing, you want to shoot? And I'm like, yeah. And I was like, should I bring my mermaid tail? Like, it wasn't even like, I'm bringing it. It was like, should I? And they were like, yeah. And we took this photo, and it went what we thought was viral at the time, like viral. And that's kind of how things started. But I say that to say, you know, we took a picture and we thought 300 people were going to see it, and a few thousand people saw it. And that's kind of been like the mermaid experience for me, is it's just like grown. Like, I did a tank experience with Circus Siren Pod when they first started offering people to be able to just kind of like rent time in their tank. And one of the MERS there, Kira, was like, hey, do you want me to film it portrait stuff for you? Like, that's, you know, what TikTok likes. And I was like, okay. And I guess I had posted like two things on TikTok and they hadn't done really well. And like, I hadn't figured TikTok out. I was like, I think I'm too old for this. Like, I don't know. And so I took the video she filmed. Like, TikTok was not a priority. And then that got like 3 million views. And so, like, there are definitely moments where I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? But like, somebody wants to see what I'm doing, apparently. And so, yes, definitely when the Netflix came out, there was a big like swell. But like, there seems to keep being, and obviously that's on a much bigger scale, and like, you know, there's a write-up in the Guardian, and like, you know, it's definitely a bigger scale, but also this thing has just been kind of having a life of its own.
Hello, lovely Fat Joy friend, Sophia here, and I have a request. Can you please subscribe to this podcast? And if you've already subscribed, can you please give me a 5-star rating? And if you've done that, could you please write a review of the podcast? I know, that's a lot of asks, but these actions help increase the profile of Fat Joy, which allows me to keep producing it. I'm so grateful. The Fat Joy podcast is one of the top 2.5% most popular shows out of the over 3 million podcasts globally. Totally amazing. And let's bring even more Fat Joy into the world by getting into the top 1%. So when you subscribe, rate, and review, you're helping do that. Thank you so much, and I appreciate you. Wow. Do you feel, this is a coach question, I can't help myself. Do you feel really on purpose?
Most of the time.
Yeah, like you're doing what you're supposed to do. Yeah, it just feels like it is unfolding in that way.
Yeah, Yeah. And like it has that, I don't know, like I believe there is like a magical element, you know, where it's like you can do everything right or wrong. And like, you know, and it's unfortunate, right? In a way, like, because you almost wish that there was a formula, like just write the book. You know, if you spend 3 hours a day for 18 months, you can be whatever. And like, yes, but also like, I don't know, like some people get that, like there's just like a magic element and it, you don't know who's going to get it and who's not. And it's not fair. It's like literally not fair. And as much as I'm on like the lucky side of it, like, I think that's like, but that also for me, you know, am I on purpose? It's like, well, I must be, because this is bigger than me. And I like the world wants this of me. And so then it's like trying to figure out, like, how do I show up and like make that worthwhile? And so for me, it's even in things like being mindful of like the energy of like my content, right? Because there's like a lot of like funny, like pro-fat stuff that's also like a little nasty, you know? Like, you know, like if it's like F you skinny bees, and it's like, no, like my body is not in defiance of theirs. And like, my, you know, not my best friend skinny, but like, you know, like skinny people are fine. Like that's not, you know, and so like for me, like that's part of like, I don't know, like trying to like do my side of this honor is like making sure that like, and I'm not perfect. Or somebody will find something like flashy that I've posted, and every now and then, like I have my moments, but like, you know, that the like majority of like what I'm bringing is like life giving and like life supporting and not just funny or cute. Like that, I don't know. Yeah.
That makes so much sense. Yeah. And I love that, like, this is happening. How can I continue? The words I would put, like, how can I continue to show up and write relationship with it in a way that feels like you said, it's like life-giving, life-affirming. Yeah. And just, yeah, allowing too. I feel like there's so much trust when you feel that there is something working through you or for you. It requires so much trust. And I find that's the hardest part, certainly in my experiences of this, is like, but I want to control it, but I'm not supposed to, but like, how do I hold that tension? I find it really hard.
That tension is so hard, so hard. Because you don't want to control it, and you have to let it do its thing, but you still have to do your part. And so like, what's the difference between like showing up and like trusting and like, you know, yeah. Kerry Washington has this quote, and she's like, yeah, you don't just like pray to catch your bus. You have to pray and run like hell. And it's like,
that's a great quote. Yes. Yes. You're right. That's it. She's right.
But like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It's the running part where I find it's the question, right? It's like, okay, so I should run. Okay. Okay, I'm running, but am I over controlling? Am I running like in the right direction? Like,
right. Yeah. Right. But like, if I'm running, does that mean that I don't believe? Like,
right. But I know I shouldn't just stand here and do nothing, because that's not how it works. I know. Yeah. Yeah. do you have a way of determining that? How do you deal with those moments of not knowing?
I try to trust. I try to like meditate. A lot of times I'll just check in with like, you know, my personal counsel, so to speak. And it's like, am I crazy? Or like, no, I'm supposed to be, you know, a 340 pound, like middle-aged black mermaid. Like this doesn't make sense, but this is what we're doing and it's right.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's the best question I've ever heard. Yes, yes, yes. Oh my God, I love that, Shay. Oh, and how wonderful to have your people, like your trusted allies that you can like, yeah. Amazing. Wow. So I really want to talk about some of the challenges I think that came up that I certainly saw in the doc, but also I'm imagining, like, there was a whole part of the documentary where you had to have a tail, like the mermaid tail, which is like the thing. And holy smokes, they are gorgeous the way they're made. They are works of, like, really, like, literally works of art. People like hand stitch individual scales, like tens of thousands. But to have one in your size had to be custom made, right? So, like, barriers in terms of clothing. Also, like, there was something that came up that I'm dying to ask you about, which is a bit irreverent. We can move on. You don't have to answer it. But, like, this whole thing around, like, sexual harassment that happens with mermaids, and, like, they call them merverts. So it's not perverts, it's merverts. Like, basically, men being ridiculous to performers, to mermaids. But there's just, like, there's these barriers that are also part of this culture, part of this choice to mermaid. So I'd love for you to share a little more about that. Plus size tails and merverts, go.
Okay. I'll do merverts because it's shorter. They exist. I haven't had too many issues. I honestly think one of my greatest gifts in mermaiding is that I was pretty well over 30 when I started. And so I think, I've naively gotten myself into a lot of trouble. I went to college in North Philly when I was 16. And 16-year-old suburbanite from Northern Virginia. Like, I have had some very interesting run-ins with street harassment and everything else. And, like, just being like this, like, happy little, like, I'm just gonna walk through North Philly in, like, booty shorts and, like, do my thing and, like, hi, how are you? And, like, oh, you're not used to people talking to you and acknowledging your humanity. Now you're walk with me for 10 blocks. Like, I have done those things. And but now I'm just like, I have a much smaller, like, BS tolerance. And so, like, if I get weird DMs, like, I don't feel I owe anybody anything, and, like, I don't feel like I have to, like, wait until somebody sends me something that's really uncomfortable to shut it down. Like, if you're DMing me hi, like, I don't have to respond. Like, I don't know you, you know? And so I feel like some people get, like, with, like, the digital harassment, they just let things go farther naively. You know, like, I've seen on Facebook where people are like, this person, I mean, they seem a little weird, but they haven't done anything wrong. And it's like, yeah, but the fact that we're now on Facebook, like, discussing this, that they are occupying way too much of time in your brain rent-free, like, you don't owe them that. But I'm also just, like, busier because I'm older. So, like, so I've not had a ton of direct experience with merverts. They do exist. And for people who do a lot more in-person gigs and, like, the types of gigs where it's like, oh, I know this person's going to be at this fair every single Saturday, like, yes, like, there is an element and a possibility and a reality of, like, weirdos and, like, stalkers and those people who are just, I mean, there are people where, like, you just don't know, you know, like, are they really friendly or are they too friendly? And I think as we're increasingly aware of neurodivergence, it's also like, do they just have a special interest or are they, you know, but again, how much of that do you owe a person? So, merverts, they exist. It sucks. But that's why you never mermaid alone. Not just in terms of a physical safety, like being in the water, but, like, you should never be in a tail in public by yourself. Like, you need a person. You need a person who's looking out for you in all sorts of different ways. You need somebody, you know, tell somebody to move along if they're hugging you too long for a photo op or whatever. Like, I mean, there are definitely different ways it comes out. And, you know, the joys of the world. And then we were talking about plus size tails.
Yeah, your tail. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So the big tail that I got at the end of Merpeople was made for me by Mermaid Cariel. It is my first silicone tail, and it was kind of my barrier to entry for joining the Circus Siren Pod. basically all silicone tails are made to a person's body. However, like Carolyn never made a plus size tail before. You know, I got, you know, what I call my front butt and my back butt. And like, how do you account for that? Like, how do you, you know? And so it was definitely a learning experience for her. And there's like a thing called a gap wrap, which is basically like a belt for maids that like kind of blends the end of the tail and your body. And there's this person who makes really, really beautiful gap wraps. And I've been seeing them on Instagram. And they said they go up to like 40 inches or something. And I like DM them because they're just so pretty. Like usually I'm just like, ah, this isn't accessible. But like they were just so pretty. I was just like, so I just want to confirm that like you can only make these up to 40 inches. And they were like, yeah. And it was like the size of whatever they sculpt on. That's just how big it is. And so they're like, yeah, sorry, not sorry, bye, you know. And it's like, okay. And so Cariel is like really excited about like making this. She had reached out to me. She found me because she's been trying to figure out like a good plus size top. We've been like talking through that, and she's been working with a mer I know named Star and like a bunch of different people to like figure out like this like plus size top. So it's definitely a thing. But like what's surprising and what I will say is that the physical tail are generally a lot more accommodating than we would think, depending on like where you fit, obviously, in the size spectrum, because fabric tails, which most of us are going to start with, they're made out of like either spandex or scuba knit, things with like 2- and 4-way stretch. And I think honestly, like folks have trouble figuring out sizing for those things anyway. So like a lot of the things are like much more roomy than you would expect. And so one of the biggest barriers is just like the knowledge for a lot of people. So, you know, I wear a 3 to a 4X in most things, but like in a mer tailor, I'm a 1X. And so if I didn't have somebody telling me that, I'd be like, I can't fit mer tailor tails 5 years ago. Now, ever since, you know, some things have changed, like mer tailor carries tails up to a 3X, but at the time I think they went to a 1X and it's like, oh, I can't fit this. And I had to have somebody be like, well, actually you can. And so, you know, I'm very grateful. There's a mer named Cindy out in Virginia. My body has changed, but like I wore about the same size she did when I started. And gosh, I learned so much from her because she just did the legwork first, you know? And she's like, oh, this is what size I wear in this brand. This is what size I wear in this brand. And again, they're all brands that are cutting off at like 1 or 2X. And I'm like, no way these things are going to fit me. And shockingly, a lot of them did. And so it's really cool. I, you know, kind of accidentally, intuitively, whatever, you know, gratefully like called the Society of Fat Mermaids, like the Society of Fat Mermaids, because I think from the moment I started, you know, they thought there were thousands of people behind me, which like now there are. But you know, at some point it was just me, you know, but like, I am the Society of Fat Mermaids. Now we are the Society of Fat Mermaids. It's really cool. But you know, at some point it was just me, but it sounded like there were more than one of me. And so, I think just that awareness that like, oh, fat people exist. They want to do this. And they would give us money if we would just expand our sizes. And with a lot of tail makers, things are made to order anyway. And so it's not even at like, you have to do the legwork of figuring out the sizing, but it's not like they're necessarily like keeping an inventory. And so I feel like it's less of a risk, you know, as it were.
I think it's so interesting just even hearing you detail that about how the culture is changing and how accessibility is changing and how the mer fashion is changing. That's great. And you like the role, like you've played a big role in that. That's pretty amazing.
Thank you. It's weird because I don't really know, like sometimes people tell me that and I'm like, well, I don't know what it was like before me, you know, which is like a weird thing to say. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I have some inklings, but I don't completely know what was or wasn't here.
Yeah, no, it's great. I love that because you're paving the way for others. You and the other Fat Mermaids are making, not only is it about representation and being seen, it's also about like stopping the gatekeeping that's happening. Those barriers to entry, like you had mentioned. Shay, you're creating an online school. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
I'm so excited about it. It should be live by the time this thing airs. It's called The School for Fish. And basically what I have found is that when people see me or like they see the Society of Fat Mermaids, it's like, oh my gosh, that's the thing. It's like the first thing. And then it's like, how do I do this thing? And so I'm like, okay. And I spent a lot of time underwater. So I, as you know, I'm not great at responding to emails. And so I'm like, okay, we got to come up with a way to like direct people to resources. And so I am building out the School for Fish. And basically I've just pulled people who've been really instrumental and helpful for me in my mer journey. Mermaid Michelle is doing the class on dolphin swimming. And like, that's just the basic beautiful flowing stroke. She's like an Olympic class swimmer. Well, that's what everybody says. Then she'll be like, it's not an Olympic class swimmer. I'm a master swimmer level, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. She's incredible. A little bit humble, wakes up at like 4 a.m. every day to train. And when you watch the intro to Mer People, she's the blonde mermaid. And like Mer People is one of the, yeah, the intro. Oh my gosh. Like I don't think I ever hit the like skip introduction button because it's just so beautiful. It's Michelle, it's the Mer Tailor and Mermaid Saluna. And I think it's just the three of them. And they're at the Atlantis in the Bahamas and they're just swimming like so beautifully and so magically. And yeah, when it comes on, if that's what comes on, you do not expect that you're ever going to see a fat mermaid in the show, but gosh, are they stunning. And so that's who's teaching like how to basically swim like a mermaid. I've got like Mermaid Lila, who started the like Nawi Mermaid training program. She like wrote out the coursework for that. She's going to talk about like safe encounters with wildlife. And I have a friend, Mermaid Chasey, up in Canada, and she'll be talking about like how to build your mersona. And so like, I don't want to come on here and be like, this is how you make your mersona. Like, I mean, I could convincingly give a presentation on building your mersona, but I've also told you that like, I've been working on mine for 5 years, you know? And so it's just like people who have influenced me, encouraged me, and I know are brilliant. And I'm just bringing them all in because I feel like these days, you know, we have so much information. And so you get curious about mermaiding and you go down the like YouTube, Google rabbit hole. And I just want to like kind of show a path, but also like introduce folks to like good people, right? Like, you know, it's like, here's a person you can like kind of probably access, like you can follow them on Instagram and like they know this really well. And like, so I'm really, really excited about the School for Fish, just having this like digital online platform to just kind of introduce people to this mermaiding journey.
Yeah, it's like a mer masterclass in mermaiding. That is so exciting, Shay. For our final question, I want to ask you about joy. Talk to me. I feel like you're a person who lives with a lot of joy, and that's a huge assumption because I've only known you for about an hour.
And what a joyful hour it's been, though. It's been good.
Right? But what's your relationship to joy? What brings you joy?
So much brings me joy right now, which I'm really, really grateful for. So much. What is my relationship to joy? I don't even feel like I'm like a joy. I want to be like, I'm a joy chaser, but like I'm not, right? Like that's like a, I don't know, adrenaline junkie statement. And I'm pro adrenaline junkie. If that's who you are, enjoy it. Like it can be fun. But like, I'm more like, I feel like I'm like open to receiving joy in a lot of different forms. Like I'm just in a space where I'm just really appreciative. Today is currently, as we're recording, a Monday, and I had to like go to my storage unit last night. And I was driving and the radio was on. And on Sunday nights on two different public radio stations, One does like vintage Latin jazz, like Tito Puente type stuff. And then one does like old school, like radio, like before there were TV shows, radio programs. And it's like so cool on Sunday night that both of these things are on. I love them both. And I like, I was just like so happy. And I'm always like, I have to pick one because they're on at the same time. But like, I'm like, it's so cool that both these things exist. It's so cool that like, I live in an area, I guess, that's nerdy enough that like I can have like dueling public radio stations. Like, excuse me. And like, I don't know. And like, I was like, just like overwhelmed with like gratitude, even for like my parents for like raising me in a way where like I'm excited to listen to like the audio version of Dragnet and like Tito Puente at like some club in like 1960 something. Like, you know, and I had a bad connection or whatever, so it was staticky, but it was like, it still made me happy. I don't know. Like, you know, you happened to get a peek of my view when I was figuring out my setup and like, oh, you know, some mornings I just wake up and like the sky is so blue and I'm just like, I'm so grateful and filled with joy to be here. And obviously like really, really big things bring me joy. Like, you know, like I love doing my little like motivational videos and then, and it's such a double-edged sword, right? Like somebody would be like, I was having like the worst day. And then I saw this video and it like, and I'm like, and so like knowing that confirmation that I am on track, you know, when we were talking about like, are you doing the right thing? Like, does this make sense? Like, what are you doing? You know? And so when I do get those affirmations that like my work matters, because like I do have like the nasty things in my head and it's like, who are you? Like, who are you to just like go tell everybody on TikTok that they're valuable and they're important? Like, says who? They're like, well, mermaid Shay Monique said that these people are awesome. And it's like, you know, like, you know, the like teenager in my head is like, that's so cheesy. And it's like, yeah, well, the world needs cheesy right now. Gosh, does the world need cheesy right now?
The world does need cheesy. Yeah.
And so when somebody like messages me and like, honestly, like when it's not a private message, when they're vulnerable enough to do it, like just as a public comment, it's like, wow, thank you. And I do, I get so excited. I like read them to my husband. I'm like, look, you were like so annoyed with me. You were tired of recording me. And we just made this person's week. Like,
oh, I love that, Shay. Yeah. I love it. I feel like what you described was like kind of being in a state of joyful receptivity. So to kind of just be open to the possibility of joy moment to moment. I feel like I strive for that. I'm not there. I'm still filled with a lot of rage in a lot of ways about the world, but like there's something about that presence that you described. Like I'm looking out my window, I'm driving my car, I'm like being moved by a comment that someone wrote. Like there's so much beauty in what you said about the presence and allowing that to just allow joy in to be felt, an experience that's moving.
Thank you. I have a super active gratitude practice that sometimes I pull other people into and it really like helps reframe, you know, it's like I'm running late to work and you have all that like anxiety and then it's like, but wait. And like a lot of times I message this one friend on my way to work and it's like, all right, so I've got safe, reliable transportation. I have a job. I have a job where everybody knows I'm going to be late and nobody's fired me yet. Like I have a job where they get me.
Yes.
And I live in a place where, oh, they're doing construction again, but that's because the roads are well maintained, you know, like, and as much as like, yeah, I'm still running late to work, sometimes just like checking into all of those things. Like, and for me, it's the things, it's weird because the things we call little things are huge, right? Like, you know, either the structural things I'm so grateful to have that I can totally take for granted, like paved roads, you know, but like just the really, really blue sky, just like Virginia gets all four seasons. And so like, they're always changing and it's always something pretty. And on the one hand, like, oh, the sky is blue. That's small. And also like, that's literally infinitely huge, like huger than anything. So it's really, it helps like those, it helps the joy like seep in amidst the like chaos, because I'm not like, I mean, things definitely, you know, get me, but it's like, I cannot change a lot of things, but you know, I can, I can have an appreciation for my neighbor's flowers or whatnot. I'm not allowed to or supposed to talk about the filming of Merpeople. So we'll just say I happened to be doing a film project, and it doesn't even make it in, but I was like walking into work, and I work as a massage therapist in Old Town Alexandria, which is like a really, really, it's just super cute. It's just such a cute little charming neighborhood. And it was like an early summer day. And so like all the like flowers are in bloom, and like there are days, like if I'm not running late, like I feel very like in my like Mary Tyler Moore moment, just like, you know, bopping down the street, and I'm like, I'm walking into work, and somebody might have been like, you can't look that happy going into work. And it's like flowers on the tree. And like, I work in a residential block, well, like a commercial residential block. So like directly across the street from my job. Currently it's almost Halloween. So the neighbors, they do really cool like skeleton displays every year. And so like right now they have like skeleton scale in their house. And like last year though, and I know you need to go, so I'm going to stop running my mouth. They like pose their skeletons on this little bench in front of their house with a cup of Misha's coffee. And like Misha's coffee is like this Old Town Alexandria like staple. And it was like, this is just like the cutest thing ever. It's just like so like iconically this place. And like, and it just like legit, it makes me happy. Like, I don't know.
I love the reminder of all of that, of the gratitude, the presence. Yeah. You are, do I say Merv? How would I say inspirational in mermaid? Motivational?
Motivational? Yeah. Or finspirational.
Finspirational. Oh, I like finspirational. Yeah. Awesome. Finspirational.
Finspirational.
Shay, this was a really beautiful conversation. I'm so excited for what else will be unfolding for you. I mean, it's, to me, it does sound like you're exactly doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I'm so grateful to you for representing fat people in a really positive, bold, and joyous way. I mean, it's, yeah, it like jumped off the screen at me when I was watching the documentary. And I'm really honored that we got to talk and have this conversation. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Random question. Do you remember what like the Netflix like main picture was for you when like you saw Merpeople?
It was the title. It was Merpeople the title. I don't think there was there a mermaid in the. It was the title, and I see like the blue green background, but the title was the big one.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm just curious. This is like always fun to like, because there's one that's like a shot of like the fat mermaids.
Oh, no, that was not mine. I feel like I would have remembered Fat Mermaids. Oh,
right.
All right. I'm going to have to go look it up.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for having me. This is so much fun.
Oh, thanks, Shay. Before we go, I'd like to read a poem, because poetry can reach our hearts in a different way. Poems can have us feel in a different way. And that's what this podcast is all about, expanding our hearts, deepening our empathy, and inviting in joy. So each week, you get a new poem. I had to read this poem by Mahogany L. Brown for Shay Monique's episode. This poem is called Country of Water, and I can just feel the rhythms of the tides in this poem as I read it, and this deep returning to self in spite of all the other forces that want to keep us separate. It's a bit of a longer poem, and I debated like stopping in the middle, but I just can't. It's beautiful. It's important. Here it is. I know who I am because I believe it. The breath in my chest, insistent in its choice, the skin that I'm in, the bones and blood and veins it carries like a promise. Have you witnessed the ocean moving with so much gust and life? Have you witnessed the river, still waters bubbling the rebirth of school. Have you witnessed your body, its own country of water, moving against the tide of a world so heartbreaking it's forgotten its own voice? Be still, friend. Be still. Be kind to yourself in the gift of stillness. I know who I am because I believe it. I know who I believe. In threes we will come, a drip of water moving against a boulder. Water slow and steady can turn rock into a pebble, like anxiety, like self-doubt, smaller, smaller, until gone. Let your love for yourself be the water, be the rise, be the mist. Let you be. I know who I am because I believe it. I believe I am my mother's daughter. I believe I am my grandmother's prayers. I believe I am my great-grandmother's backbone revealed. I am because I believe so. I am because a woman believed in me. What a continent I became. What a country of water I be. I flow and fluid and rise and ebb, and I believe in me. I am not wrong. I am wronged. In this skin I've reclaimed from this trap of this country's tourniquet, only to find the sweet solace is a riverbed. Its mud beckons me closer to its silt. Small fish and forgotten glass unearth themselves like baby teeth. Only one can cut into flesh purposefully. Only one does not know what it is capable of. I believe in the air as much as I believe in the fire. I believe in the fire as much as the water consumes. I believe in a higher source, energetic and wise. I believe in my ability to thrive. This body is a good thing. Turning 2 miles, walked over a bridge into a family's meal. Creating poems that become cashier's checks, dentist bills, and rent. I've 3 holes in my teeth and a nation that pretends I didn't almost die for it to survive. I am still here. I am still here, and like the ocean, full of salt and shells, full of ship remnants and noble ones, I bleed and the sand grieves. I be because someone survived for me to be here today. Breathing this almost air, marching for cleaner belongings, my front seat beneath the deadening stars is still a seat, is still a ground, is still a home that I can pronounce my given name, to write amongst the forgotten names, to the taken and the ignored. But today, there are no tombstones. Today, there is no true death, only life, only life, only a song of the living, maybe even a belief system, with water as its minister. I am water. I dive into my own currents. I dress my dreams in the satin breath of my ancestors. I know who I am. I know who I am because I believe it. Thank you for joining me today. My hope is that you're feeling a little less alone and a little more seen. So until the next episode, you can find me on Instagram at fatjoy.life, on YouTube at youtube.com/@fatjoy, and on Substack at fatjoy.substack.com. And please do check out the episode notes for how you can connect with my amazing guest and for the links to the poem. All right, lovely, I am sending you off with my best wishes for an abundantly fat joy day, and we'll talk again soon.